Croeso and welcome to Tales for Wales, the pod that never fails to go down like your Mama June's peach tea under a sultry southern sunset, a climb to the skyscraper of Welsh history like a drunken King Kong to say howdy, pilgrims, and shoot you up in a Midwestern saloon. But instead of bullets, our revolvers are loaded with interesting history facts. As usual, I'm Jack and I'm joined by Franks for a special Americana episode. Gonna get a yeehaw!
A yeehaw, partner! I do declare, this whole land of ours is down tooting.
I hope you're ready for a rootin' to an Americana time.
I did like that you said your mum goes down. That sounded like when you said that.
I think it meant to say goes. Oh yeah, it goes down like your mama. Yeah, I didn't realise that. That
goes down like your aunt T's hot pajamas.
Goes down like Mama June on a hot thick cack.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
You didn't like it. Yeah. That's what they say. It's not the mouth that comes out of it. It's the mind it goes into. The bumhole it goes into. Yeah, that's the same.
Yeah. We should probably start
picking up already, mate.
That we messed up the episode last week where we put out we said like we're gonna do our like shop window for sign up to the Patreon. We're like, right, we're a bit too busy to record an episode, but here's one of our favorites from the vault. And then we proceeded to send one of the ones we hated the most and didn't even put out on the Patreon because we got the titles wrong. So we put out the hotel episode, which we didn't really like and has never went out on Patreon.
It was 24 hours only, okay? So sorry if you were one of the early birds.
Well, I had like a couple of hundred downloads before on the Sunday. So I was like, oh no, and I wouldn't really, and they didn't tell me to re-listen. So if you were an early bird, you'd listen last Sunday, go back and listen because it's an actual episode.
It's brand new.
It's about the when we make our own theme park, and we still on the Patreon, we'll put that up there now, but it means we've burnt a Patreon episode, so we're gonna have to record something else. But yeah, we didn't realize even on
the
Patreon,
didn't we?
We put that stupid hotel episode up, which we weren't really happy. We were both a bit tired after recording that one,
so
weren't we?
Tired. Yeah. So so if you were one of the lucky ones, or maybe the unlucky ones, depending on your perspective, if you were the first like 150 odd or whatever that downloaded that one, you've got an episode for free if you think about it. Yeah. So you're kind of welcome. But as Frank says, revisit it if you haven't already. You get a whole extra, I think it's like another half hour or whatever on top of the end. But so yeah, look, check that out.
But it was very on brand for us to try and use like a bit of like, hey, come sign up to the Patreon. Because this is where we're doing our best work, and then we proceed to release our worst work.
Come on, guys. Would you have us any other way?
And it did still, people still signed up from it, so it kind of been all that bad.
We must be so good if our bottom barrel is still...
If you can't handle me at my worst, you don't deserve me at my best.
Yeah, exactly. But yes, check it out if you haven't already. It's been refreshed, so yeah, have another look at it.
Yeah, so sorry. Do you want to do a shout out for Patreon people before we forget as well?
Yeah, so our next Patreon guy on the list is the lovely Matt Robert. Cousin and friend, I'm sure, of Julia Roberts and Eric Robert.
And son of Robert the Bruce.
Son of Robert the Bruce,
Bruce will come.
Matt Roberts will come. Roberts will come.
Roberts will come. Hey, McLaughlin again.
Janet Bananas come. Matt will come.
Janet Bananas here, so Robert the Bruce's son will come. My hate will die with ye. A bit more like Glaswegian.
Matt Roberts was not to be harmed.
That was part of the plan. Part of the deal. Roberts was not to be harmed.
Matt Roberts, you have lands, you have titles. That gives you great power, but the people won't follow you. Join Tales for Wales Patreon, then they'll follow you.
They'll follow you. I'm feeling shit, like really ill at the moment, but doing a Scottish accent's like G'd me up.
So, I was just about to say, I can hear that your voice go up a couple of octaves just in positivity.
I just had a couple of swigs of Carlin to try and like perk me back up. But
for those not unaware of this, just before we came on, Frank's like, oh, I'm feeling a bit shit, blah, 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 blah. And I said, oh, you're on the beers? He went, yeah, I just had some Carlin and some pills. I should be all right. And I was like, the classic combo, Carlin, pills.
You say pills like it's the 90s and I'm at a rave.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Not a bunch of E's. Mad for it, okay?
Yeah. We're at the fucking Hacienda. We're mad at the Hacienda. Yeah.
You should see Frank's on the webcam now, fucking gurning like a fucking horse. No, he means pills as in, I'm assuming you mean pills in medicine pills.
Yeah, but I've got like a discarded box of like tablets and I never read what they are. So they just took the ones that look most like they would be paracetamol.
when you finish one box, you use them, put them in your little box of Emma's treats.
I think this is like a girl thing where you just take things that are already in a box and then decant them into another box. So like...
Very true.
So this is my 90s observational comedy. You only like they're already in a medical box, but she takes them out, puts them in, and I never read them. So it could be ibuprofen, it could be paracetamol, it could be hay fever tablets.
You guys ever live with a woman? So I assume they take the boxes out of the pills out of the boxes.
What's that like Jerry Seinfeld guy? What's the deal with that?
Yeah,
man. This pod just put me up. I think I've been a bit like a fucking negative little bitch recently. So, like, I think on the last pod...
fucking negative little twat.
I was a bit moany on the last one I listened to, and I don't want to be moany. It just got a lot going on in the life. And so I don't want to come on here and be a little sicky boy.
Not at all, mate. Listen, the USP of this pod is us. All right? We are the golden goose.
Yeah.
And I say that with full... us. Arrogance.
Yeah. Also, It's quite funny that you say our USP is us, because there's that other podcast you've just sent invites to all of our followers and do the exact same thing.
All right, we're doing this, are we? We're going in on them. About fucking time.
About fucking time, you dogs. dogs. So everyone who has messaged us, because we've had a bunch of messages from people saying, is this you? Is this you, boys?
Not even being funny now, like tens and tens and tens of them. Like, Frank's every other day is sending me screenshots from like the socials. I'm getting messages from like our nearest and dearest going, who are these? Are these you?
Are these you?
They are not. They are not us.
Some other podcast is doing drunk Welsh history, everyone's allowed to do their own thing. But what was quite funny was that they went through all of our followers and sent all of our followers an invite. So people think it's like a little bit to do with us. And we keep getting messages about it.
So listen here, you bloody chancers. Listen, our listeners off. Know which way their bread's buttered, all right? They came straight back to us. They our fucking dogged you reporters. In it, grassed you up. Yeah, right. Yeah. Oh, my little birds. Like fucking, what's his name? The bald guy from Game of Thrones? Varys. Spider in the garden.
I've got spiders everywhere.
My little birds tell me many things.
Yeah.
My little birds tell me you're trying to fucking copy our format.
I reckon me and you would be a good Varys and Littlefinger. I'd be Varys and you'd be Littlefinger.
Me going, Couch Ladder.
It's all over the shop in that.
Me and
thing.
You are Varys with this podcast. Those other pretenders, they're Littlefinger trying to fucking foil our plans every turn.
I just meant in general, if we were characters from it, we would make quite a good.
We've moved on from the hatred of them, have we? Okay, that's fine.
Okay, we go back to the hatred.
I'll put the lid back on. That's fine.
No, just get them on, lads. You know. Now, to be fair, it does seem like their content's a little bit different.
Hollow words right there. Hollow words. To be fair. It's a free country, I guess.
If that's what you want to be, that if you want to label yourself a. Flattery is a form of compliment.
Lowest form of wit, but isn't that sarcasm?
No, it's the other thing. It's like copying is the highest form of flattery. Imitation.
It's the highest form of flattery.
The podcast, guys. we don't deserve your listenership. We're fucking shit.
Maybe they're like really like on the point and they can actually structure something.
It's enough Welsh history to go around, I'm sure, isn't there?
We'll see, won't we? Yeah.
We'll see when we crash and burn.
Listen, I was already lost one of my idols when fucking Ellis James decided to do a history podcast. Fucking stamp on our toes. That was the first big blow, and now these guys are coming up the ranks. I don't know what the wheel's coming to anymore.
I just don't know what
nothing's sacred anymore.
To. Yeah. Mm. I mean, we kind of invented Welsh history and drinking, so it's kind of our thing, actually.
No one's ever married the two things before. That was our
never
thing.
Never twain shall meet.
Yeah, so, we should have copyrighted it. More fool us.
Yeah, well, don't worry. I've got an army of lawyers who are currently scribing up my poison pen letters.
We're going to put the cease fucking system desist on trial, boys.
Yeah. You think that fucking... if you know Harrods at the moment have the massive payouts and all that, like, the downfall. That's going to be nothing. Wait, yeah. Wait, this is going to be the legal battle of the 21st century.
This is going to be fucking codified after we're done with it.
Yeah, it'll be called the Franks versus whatever their surnames are, the Roe v. Wade of our time.
Tails versus Taps, that's what it'll be. Enshrined in law.
That is good gear
for generations to come. Yeah, it'll be as the precedent was centered in Tails versus Taps 2024.
And then in like 40 years time they overrule it, and then in certain parts of Wales you can start doing Welsh history, and then people have to travel back into
the Four Kingdoms.
Yeah,
just start warring again. Yeah,
People cross over county lines so they can do a Welsh history podcast outside.
I just
want
to listen to Tales for Wales, but I can't do it in Gwynedd anymore. You know that's a Taps county, don't you?
And they have to draw up the map on where you're a Taps or a Tails Head.
Yeah,
we're only having a laugh. Chill out, all right? Come on,
don't fucking have a go at us.
Stop having a go at us.
Copy our bloody podcast again? Oh wait, already done it.
I got a wife as well. You can take hers one if you want. At my house, at my dog.
Yeah, guess my dog will starve to death, is it?
Yeah. You'll have your own knees like a dog, won't you? Bloody tapheads.
Yeah. Who is this pod who copies my shtick like I need his? I can't even fucking finish it.
Oh, we have a laugh.
Anyway.
I bet they poison me. They poison me so we can't produce such high quality bands.
Yeah, it's not our potentially battered immune system from all the drinking we do. They poisoned us. It'd be easier, wouldn't it, to poison us?
Yeah.
Just, I don't know, just pop something in a bit of rum.
Or just let us do it to ourselves. We've been doing it ourselves pretty well for a while.
Yeah, or just wait. Yeah. And it'll happen itself.
Yeah, we haven't got long. We are not long for this world.
No, exactly.
Well,
I'm glad I got that off my chest. It's been eating away at me.
It's been eating away at us for months anyway, so it is quite good that we got it all out now, isn't it?
Yeah. Jesus.
So we've done a Patreon shout out, that's done. Oh, I'm just looking through my notes before we start. And I was up for work the other day, and we were meeting some like clients for food in Leicester Square, which is like this, we're going to like this like really nice. What was it like? Vietnamese food, and on my way there, I got off at Leicester's. Where did I get off? I got off at, like, I think it was Piccadilly Circus, where when you're underground, there's like a bit of a thoroughfare. So like it's before you get to the street level. There's like a little vendor in the middle. There's like six ways you can go out, like to different sides of the street, because it's so hectic there. It's like I said, a thoroughfare. And I was trying to get on my Google Maps.
Just a humble Welshman, mate. I can't even imagine such a hustle and bustle.
Well, as a humble Welshman, I got this app called City Mapper, which is like fucking, it just takes all the thinking out of using the tubes and being able to just get out. So I was like, I was looking on City Mapper, and I was like, right, what way am I going from here now? And then this lady, who seemed like quite like normal and with it, came up to me and she went, hello, hey. I was like, what? And she went, hello. Hey, and I was like, what? And she was like, bringing me to a corner, and she was like whispering really close to my face, and it was really, she called like, hello, hi. I was like, what are you on about? And I said, sorry, I don't know what you're on about. I got to go. And she went, you're flying low. I was like, oh.
Just trying to save you from social embarrassment. That's all. But
she was saying it so weirdly. She was talking. I thought she might have had like a stroke because she wasn't moving a lot of her face. She was like whispering out the side of her mouth. And then, and also, I was flying low a bit, but not enough to be like, oh, I'm going to take you aside and give you an absolute chat.
The best thing is, imagine if she stopped you and shouted And you're like, you're flying low. You're like, do you have to make such a bloody scene about it?
Well, that's the other thing. It's so hectic there. Like, you know, there's fucking 100. I was there like 5:30, 6 o'clock, like prime pint time. And it was like a Thursday night, so everyone's going to the pub. So, like, everyone was
don't
like,
you fucking realise, woman, it's prime pint time.
But what I mean by that is it was so busy. So the fact she saw like a halfway down zip to me made me think, you're a bit of a willy watcher. I was thinking this. There's something not quite on here, my darling. But yeah, it's a bit full on, just like to get taken aside. And I thought it was in, like there was a trouble, or I thought, you know, I had some maniac talk to me. But sorry, to be a bit sick of my mouth.
Willy watcher is not something you want to be labelled with. Not in the great city of London.
Yeah, there's plenty of them around, mate. The old willy watchers, you know, sit on the tube and there's always so many oddballs and maniacs. It's like I went to like San Francisco, but like 10 years ago, and I couldn't believe how many homeless people had severe mental health issues and like just kind of been left to roam the streets and not get any care that they need. And London's become so much like that. The amount of maniacs on the tube,
almost as if living on the street is bad for it, like,
yeah. But in the UK you often get the NHS, don't you? So if you do, what's so mad is when you go to America, you notice that if you have mental health issues and you don't have a family or you're those things, you are just left to your own devices. And it's just like, oh yeah. God, this, it can be quite scary, and it's obviously really sad for them, but it's just a bit, you in the UK you kind of get shielded a bit from that. But I definitely think it's like London's gone, it's mad, man. I saw something the other day, just like it, like on the tube, he was sniffing gaslighter fluid, and then like,
oh, fucking hell.
Which I think is like, you know, I don't know what you're getting from there. And then he started pouring the gaslighter fluid on the seat. I thought, oh, good, you're gonna set us all on fire on
He's gonna self-immolate. Yeah,
yeah. And I have to just look away because I'm awkward. And I'm just like, I'm sorry.
Imagine you at fucking Tiananmen Square or something. Going, oh god, I have to look away
cringe.
Now.
Oh,
I don't know.
No.
I'm so awkward. Oh, cringy, cringe alert.
I feel so embarrassed.
Yeah. Talk about making light of a serious situation.
Yeah. Well, let's make light of an entire continent, shall we? And let's do our... I was going to say, oh, Canada. Fucking hell, I got that wrong instantly.
I was about to say, oh, Britannia. Completely the wrong thing.
What's the American anthem again? We could drop it in here.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light? Is that the one?
Yeah, it could be. We'll find out maybe. When we put this in post. We could put the intro
in. We'll Google
in
it.
Now. Now we're back. So you've just listened to the rousing Star Spangled Banner, I'm pretty sure it's called.
I think that's the one.
Sounds about right. And we're going to cover for the next 2 weeks in the lead up to another historic US election, the global superpower that is the US of A. And we're going to talk about how there's a surprising amount of Welsh connections. This probably makes sense to us now why we've got so many American listeners, because doing this research, we get about a bit. We're everywhere.
We do. We got our little fingers in all the American pies, haven't we?
Yeah. Oh, nice. Yeah. That's the film.
Nice,
as well,
that
mate.
One, there. Yeah. Sick, yeah. That was good. Oh, fuck, was it?
So that's, yeah. So we're going to go through, we're going to cover for the next 2 weeks how the Welsh influence in America, some ongoing influences, and some historical figures who have ties to Wales itself. And perhaps the reason America is called America is related to a Welshman. Stay tuned for that one, though.
Ooh, yeah, keep listening if you want to find out.
Yeah. And we've already done one episode on the discovery of America and a slightly bullshit story called Cadog Ap Gwynedd.
Mad Dog. Mad Dog. Mad Dog app, Owain Gwynedd, yeah.
Yeah.
So I was about to mention that. I mentioned that in one of my bits in my notes here that say, and if you want fancy a little look at that, because that has done some good numbers, especially over in America. It's basically about a kind of mythological, folklore-y type thing about how a Prince of Wales discovered
America. Son of Owain Gwynedd.
America. Son of Owain Gwynedd, who's big time boy in Welsh history, apparently discovered America, you know, well before
Prior to Columbus. Yeah, the 12th century. So go
it's,
find out the facts on that.
The reason I say kind
one.
Of mythological is because there's some little tidbit that might suggest there was some kind truth of truth to it, maybe. Mm. But yeah, go listen to that episode. That's pretty interesting, I'd say.
And it's what's interesting is how it came back to light. So I won't give the spoiler away, but the reason why it became known in British history, and I say British more than Welsh, is because, well, there's a reason why it came back into the forefront, and it's interesting.
Yeah.
Jack covers that on the episode, so go listen to
it. Started getting pushed a lot, didn't it? So, I'll go back and have a look at that.
So, should I start with my first one?
Yeah, go on then.
So, what I'm going to do is highlight just how many American forefathers and presidents had their ancestral and paternal roots in humble old Wales. So, to begin with, 5 of the first 6 US presidents were of Welsh descent. So, John Adams, the second president, he was of Welsh descent. Thomas Jefferson, the third president, he had Welsh descent, which I'll go into more in a second, but I'm just going to list through who some of them are. But both John Adams and Thomas Jefferson, the only two presidents who actually signed the Declaration of Independence, apparently they fell out with each other quite a lot, and they didn't like each other. They didn't speak to each other for ages, and they were quite at odds with each other. But they both died exactly on the same day, 4th of July 1826, which was the 50th anniversary of signing the Declaration of Independence. So their feud died with each other. Then 4th president, James Madison, he was of Welsh descent. James Monroe, the 5th president, yet another man of Welsh descent, who was officially conceived and implemented the Monroe Doctrine, a policy that declared any attempt to colonialise the land in the continent of North America would be regarded as an act of war. Which is a bit ironic that a bunch of colonialisers said, hang on,
I bet the Native Americans wish they'd thought of that.
You could do that? And then John Quincy Adams, who's the 6th president, he was the son of John Adams, so the second president. So he also had Welsh roots through there.
Quince himself.
So most of these roots come from their paternal grandparents, as many of the early European settlers came from Wales, looking for a more pious and religious country and one that could offer more economical prospects. So a lot of them... a lot of people think people left Britain because they were being persecuted for their religion, but it was actually kind of the opposite. They felt like people in Britain weren't being religious enough, and they were pissed off with people in Britain, like, you should be more pious. So they ended up leaving because they felt like people weren't being pious enough.
Bloody boars.
Yeah, but I'm going to do a bit of a deeper dive into. So first one, Thomas Jefferson. He's one of the big hitters that we all know about. Jefferson's family roots can be traced back to Wales. Science has now finally settled a row over the lineage of one of the most influential presidents. And it seems it does, because there was a lot of dispute. He used to say he was Welsh from his grandmother, and he used to mention that quite a bit. But there was often kind of debate around, was he actually Welsh, was he not? But now it seems it's been proven.
Why believe him, eh?
Yeah. So the third president, the one who behind the American Declaration of Independence in 1776, he'd always professed, like I said, he was originally came from Wales. But then in the 1990s, there was some cast of doubt over the authenticity of this claim. But now there's been some couple of tests on 2 British men who have the Jefferson surname to have shown the identical K2 section of DNA, which shows the US president does indeed have links to Wales.
Who was it who questioned the Welsh thing? I bet it was a bunch of bloody English people, weren't they, or something?
Yeah, I don't know who or why it came about. But yeah, his paternal ancestors came from Eryri, or Snowdonia, in North Wales.
Nice.
And then the DNA samples taken in the 90s showed the genetic makeup. Showed his genetic makeup was incredibly rare, and then they found his male descendants who had the same ones, and they were from Wales. It was also thought at the time that the reason why they thought it might be he made it up, because there was, like, for some reason they thought he might have come from Africa or the Middle East. That's where his family originally came from. So they thought he might have been lying about having family in Snowdonia, trying to throw people off the scent of his family being from
Is this
Africa
the fucking Obama's actually from. He's not got an American birth certificate situation. Was there anything that would suggest he's from Africa? Dare I judge a book by his cover, but it doesn't look like he was from Africa.
He could be like family of white settlers who were being a slave trader there. And then, you know, maybe they found that less desirable than being from Britain. So that was it. But then these findings didn't do a huge amount to help his reputation, because it's also discovered in the 90s that he'd fathered various illegitimate slave children from a slave woman that he owned, who were then forced into slavery themselves. So his own sons and daughters, he put straight back into slavery. So, you know, there's a lot of things about him not being a very good person.
Don't meet your heroes, isn't it? You read about these people, is you think, they did such great things, and then you read a bit deeper and you go, they let everyone down.
When I was at uni, I studied English Lit, and I read The Heart of Darkness, which is a book about the like slave trade in Africa and how it starts off in like Britain, going from Bristol to then. The guy you're following, he's kind of like an anti-hero, but he talks about these like black spots on the map because they haven't been discovered yet, but obviously they have been discovered, just not by Europeans. And they kept saying, you cannot judge the past by today's morals. I was like, okay, fair enough in some aspects, like saying the map is blank, that's all right, a bit ignorant, but I can understand that. But owning people, I think, even with like
this
the lens,
is all right. Surely everyone else is doing it.
That would be like, oh, okay, this is cool. My own son, my own daughter, that maternal, paternal bond you have with something. I just think that's a bit of a cop out. You know what you're doing.
Chuck them back in the fields. It's good for them. You know, you know, where's there's a certain moral code, isn't there? I like to think, or just have a bit of empathy for
like,
folks.
You know, empathy is innate within you. If you see like a dog on the street hurt, I think that's just something, you know, I don't think empathy is something we've taught ourselves. I think it's innate human characteristic, and it happens.
It's one of those things that, how could you look at that time, you know, it's part of the times or whatever. How could you say at that time, if you were a white guy who owned a plantation or whatever, you look over and you see another white guy, he's sipping some tea in the sun with you, going, oh, this is great. And you look into a field of black people working their fucking guts out.
And then one of them is your actual children.
Your kids, I don't buy it. I agree.
No. And the next one I'm going to talk about is Abraham Lincoln. So he's the 16th president. His great-great-grandfather, John Morris, was brought up in Bryngwyn Farmhouse, now long derelict, but it was located in the remote foothills of southeast of Bettersacoid. That's in North Wales.
Nice place in the world,
lovely place. So it's located just southeast of Bettersacoid, not in the southeast. Lincoln stayed really close to his Welsh roots, and in the 1860 election, during that campaign, he had 100,000 election pamphlets printed in the Welsh language, and he used it to appeal to these smaller minorities of, again, he's in his like swing states, he knew that he needed to appeal, and these smaller minorities would really help him win, because he only just beat the Democrats at the time. And he did that was thanks to appealing to smaller minority votes, and he lent into his Welsh heritage. And at the time, there's a lot of Welsh language spoken over there. So 100,000 pamphlets printed in Welsh is like, you know, it's in the 1800s.
Well, back then, imagine no small feat as well to produce that much.
A little bit more info about him himself. So the Republican Party had only been founded in 1854, which is 6 years prior, and it was considered really quite radical. The Republicans were anti-slavery, whilst the Democrats were pro-slavery. And with Lincoln's triumph in that election, he went on to abolish slavery before his assassination attempt in the second term. So you could say it's thanks to Wales that slavery was abolished. I mean, you could say that.
I'll say it from now on.
Because if there was no Wales, there would be no Abraham Lincoln. So, maybe.
Isn't it funny as well?
Isn't it funny?
How the times change. It's a bit funny. Don't you think it's a bit funny? When, the Republican Party back then were the ones abolishing slaves.
I know.
And I don't want to cast aspersions. Yeah. I don't want to promote my own political bias on this thing. But it feels like these days the Republicans
they'd be the ones more
probably
inclined.
The ones in favour of slavery. More inclined. I don't know.
Just say
what I see.
Other notable politicians with Welsh descent is Hillary Clinton. So Hillary Clinton's great-grandfather, John Jones, was a miner from Llangynnydd, who moved to Pennsylvania in 1879. And her great-grandmother, Mary, came from Abergavenny, which is where I'm moving to, hopefully, so I can go visit Mary Clinton. Clinton talked of her warmth towards the Welsh roots in 2017 when she received an honorary doctorate from Swansea Uni. She even went over there, and the College of Law and Criminology was renamed Hilary Rodham Clinton School of Law. And she stayed in the Gower's Fairy Hill restaurants with rooms, like in the really nice area down there, and had her staff taken with a photo. Sorry, had a photo taken with the staff afterwards and stuff, and really ingratiated herself down in the Gower for a while. And she even spoke Welsh on telly. She went on the One Show, and she said, "Played Leisioch am Hilary and Egan Egan." So vote for Hilary in 2020 after being prompted by the Welsh girl from the One Show. Is her name Alex?
Alex Jones, is it?
Yeah, so she had Hilary on the show, and she said, repeat after me, "Played Leisioch am Hilary and Egain Egain." It's a bit of a mouthful, that.
That is quite a tough one for if you don't speak Welsh. I was going
to
say, though, check her emails, lock her up, anyone?
Yeah, lock her up, innit?
lock her up.
And then next one, Richard Nixon, the original bad boy of politics.
Tricky Dicky.
Oh, Tricky Dicky, the only president to have resigned from office had Welsh ancestry. We're bare to the bone, baby.
Besmirched our good name. Nice one, Dick.
Nixon is said to be descended on his mother's side from the Pulston family, who lived in Hafod y Werin on what is now Wrexham's Caer Park estate. He was also portrayed on screen in Oliver Stone's biopic Nixon by the very best of Welsh actors, Anthony Hopkins. So,
ooh,
a Welshman played by a Welshman. And my final one is probably the best one, hands down, the one president you'd want to claim, despite maybe his indiscriminate drone bombing policy, Barack Obama, because he is just a very cool man. And there's those videos of him singing in like he's on telly singing I can't remember the name of the songs, but I'll send you the link. We could drop it in here maybe. Videos of him singing online some TV shows, and he's just so fucking smooth and cool and charismatic.
So cool, isn't he?
Yeah. And compared to all the other world leaders, he's like the one who just seemed normal. Now his link.
Yeah, like you said, the drone bombing shit aside. I mean, you got to say aside with almost every single person, really. Haven't you? Otherwise, everyone's got something in it.
I'm not 100% sure, but I know that Barack Obama had a pretty awful drone bombing policy, which is indiscriminate and often gets civilians. So I know he's often because he won Nobel Peace Prize, but people think that's quite
usual
ironic.
On this podcast. A Welsh person gets a pass. We're biased to them, okay?
Yeah. According to this, world-renowned, or, one of the most devoted genealogists, William Adams Ritwiesner, he was, this guy who also was a Library of Congress employee, but he used a lot of his spare time to construct detailed family trees of politicians and celebrities. This is a long one. So Obama's great-great-great-great-great-grandfather was Robert Perry, who was listed as having been born in Anglesey, or as we know it, Ynysmon, in 1786. That's not his only Ynysmon connection. That's not his only Anglesey connection. Big fat Welsh nerds in the confectionery world will get a right stonk on for this, because in 2008, it was revealed that Obama was a fan of smoked salt caramels made by the Seattle-based Franz Chocolates. But it turns out the people who supplied Franz Chocolates with the salt was Anglesey Sea Salt Company. So
he
could taste it. He was like, "This tastes like home."
He's like, "This tastes like Hirith, baby."
Yeah. And finally, Obama became the first sitting US president to visit Wales when he attended the NATO summit in 2014, which was hosted in Newport. So he came back to his roots.
Stay or visit at the Celtic Manor, didn't he? Yeah.
Well, the whole thing was at the Celtic Manor / the ICE, the international conference.
Oh, yeah, place.
But I remember he was in Cardiff. He came to visit the Bay.
I remember all the security stuff and the fences up and stuff. I remember that.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the a quick whistle stop tour of some. There's even more than that. There's a bunch more, but they're the quite strong ones who have strong verified Welsh links. So
there's lots of politicians, isn't there, through the ages with Welsh heritage or Welsh descent.
We get about it. Might just say that Wales was shit, so they just wanted to get leave. But
maybe. There is credence to that, I'm sure. But
for a country of for a tiny country to have influences in some of the countries all around the world, it's always quite it's quite impressive. I'd like to think.
Absolutely. Oh, there we are. You're welcome, Americans. Yeah. You're welcome, number one.
Yeah. There was also a
just
guy.
Just wait till the rest of them.
I should have really. I didn't include him, but he was considered to be one of the. I think I do have it up actually. James Monroe, who I might have said already. No. Jefferson Davis, who was Secretary of State of War and was like a hero in the Indian Wars, which probably means he was quite a bad person. But he was on the Confederate side, I think. After his after the war, he was captured and he was kept in irons for 2 years. But his wife, a Welsh woman by the name of Verena Howell, campaigned tirelessly for his release, and he was eventually granted freedom. And he was named after Thomas Jefferson, Jefferson Davis. He ended up retiring and died at 82 years old. But all thanks to his Welsh wife that he managed to get out. He was the president of the Confederacy. So, I'm not sure how much.
They don't make them like Welsh women, see?
Yeah, I know.
There we go.
Yes, so that's Welsh presidents.
Very good. Very interesting, mate. All right, was it? My next one, isn't it? So I have decided to go for, this is a bit lighter, not so political and stuff, but this is like Welsh in Hollywood or Wales in Hollywood. Both of us being quite big film buffs, I thought this would appeal to both of us, and little tidbits I think that maybe the listeners wouldn't know as well. So for a bit of background, films started to really take off after French brothers Auguste and Louis Lumière invented their hand-cranked
Louis
camera.
Louis Lumière. The French, isn't it?
It sounds made up, doesn't it? Yeah. It sounds so made up. Listen now to what they called their hand-cranked camera that revolutionized the industry. It was the cinematographe.
Oh, I don't know if I said that right. Also sounds like a big euphemism.
Yeah, it's a camera and you got to crank yourself,
hand cranking.
But this was a big jump in film and tech at the time. It could capture video to film at 16 frames per second. So that was a big deal at the day. I know at the moment we're like, hello, I don't play anything with 60 FPS. But but yes, that was 16 frames per second, and that was quite a big deal at the time. And after inventing this little gizmo, they made a few short films between 1895 and 1905, making them some of the earliest filmmakers. During this time, another film pioneer, a guy named Bert Akers, he was the inventor of the first ever 35mm camera in Britain. So he screened films in Cardiff in April 1896. And later that year, he was the first man to ever screen films to a public audience in Wales when he set up a screening in Cattays Park. So Wales has had a little link to cinema since its very, very early days. After Akers had his showing, the Lumière brothers actually came to Wales as well to screen some films. And in the following month, on the 27th of June, Akers shot the first ever film on Welsh soil when he documented Edward VII, who was Prince of Wales at the time. Documented his trip to Cardiff. So that was the first ever like motion picture captured on film. In Wales, not ever. From there, Wales has often been used as a filming location, often for fantasy films because of how varied the landscapes can be. We've got mountains, we've got sand dunes, we've got grassland, we've got woodland, we've got the bloody lot. And the first ever film ever that was set in Wales was a movie called The Old Dark House, as in a feature-length film, though, not a documentary. It was a film called The Old Dark House, and it was in 1932. This was actually filmed in England, but they kept the Welsh setting because it was based on a book, and that was where it was set, apparently. There's absolutely zero Welsh accents in sight, of course, but I thought it was quite odd that Wales got mentioned back, so far back in Hollywood history. It was actually set in Wales. I'll go into movies actually filmed in Wales as well, but there's a few examples of this, especially in early Hollywood, where Wales gets chosen as a setting, even though they don't film there. Mm. And it's not always like the most obvious thing. So, for example, The Wolfman, the horror classic from 1941, that included big hitters of the time, like Bela Lugosi and Lon Chaney Jr. That was actually filmed at the Universal lot in California, but it's mainly set in the fictional Welsh village of Llanwelly in Wales. I tried to look up why they decided on this, and all I could find was that the main character's surname in the film is Talbot, and as part of the story, he's travelling back to his hometown to bury his mum or something. Mm. The few scraps of info I found online were that they were either inspired by the Cún Annwn, or the Dogs of Annwn myths, which are like huge black dogs coated in fire, or the producers of the film at the time just looked up Talbot. They found Port Talbot, which was in Wales, and then just decided to set it in a nearby village because the guy's name was Talbot. Once again, not nearly a fucking Welsh accent in sight in this film. But yeah, nonetheless, I thought that was a bit unusual. They decided to just set that in a place in Wales. A bit of an aside as well, The Wolfman was actually remade in 2010, this time set in England, but did star the Welsh goat himself, Anthony Hopkins, who was from Port Talbot.
A lot of films, isn't he?
Yeah, I think you can tell when he went, like, for the money, I'll do it for the money.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's from Port Talbot, so it kind of came full circle in that way. Another one set in Wales but filmed in the US is How Green Is My Valley, which came out the same year.
And that's one of the biggest, isn't it? This is what made Wales.
Yes, that's a huge one. So this actually makes sense that it's set in Wales because it's about a fictional mining community based on Gilfach Goch. It's based on a book set in Wales. It makes sense that it's set in Wales. And I've spoken about this film before because you'd think it would have been a big chance to put kind of Wales on the map back in the day. It won bloody like 5 Oscars.
It beat Judge Dredd, didn't it?
Judge Dredd, yeah.
What's it called?
Judge Dredd is the one with Sylvester Stallone from the 90s.
what's the one thing?
I am the law.
What's the one that it beat? Citizen Kane. I think Citizen Kane.
Citizen Kane. Judge Dredd. I wish it had gone up against Judge Dredd.
I haven't Googled
the 90s version as well.
Yeah, pretty sure it went up against Citizen Kane.
So it beat Judge Dredd for 5 Oscars. But the director, John Ford, he actually only hired one Welsh actor in the whole production. Mm. Most of the cast actually were Irish, and they just all did their Irish accents. Oh. He infamously said, when asked about the accent muddling, "It's all Celtic, isn't it?"
Yeah.
And boy, did that rub me up the wrong way. Yeah. To keep with the vernacular of the time, it made me want to box his ears. But even though that was set in Wales, and would have been a great opportunity for sort of show Wales on the big screen at the time, because everyone was speaking Irish, I think it was like a very muddied portrayal.
Yeah.
But anyway, on to films that are actually filmed in our great nation, and I'll try to go through these in chronological order. So a few years later, after How Green Is My Valley, in 1941, saw Richard Burton's first role when The Last Days of Dolwyn were filmed at Lake Vyrnwy Dam in Wales. It was a film about a guy returning to the village of Dolwyn after he was ousted for thievery there. He returns to buy the land so his employer can flood the village, but an old woman and his son stand up to him. Didn't exactly tickle my pickle with a synopsis there, but neither here nor there, it was Burton's first foray into film, and he ended up becoming one of the biggest stars of the 50s and 60s, which isn't bad for a boy from Pontryd y Fen in Glamorgan, like I said, a Welsh boy.
Yeah.
Although he was massively huge time, he actually never won an Oscar, which surprised me. I assumed he would have won at some point, and I just wasn't aware of it.
He died young, didn't he, though?
Yeah, he was a massive boozer, huge alcoholic.
Yeah, he died
So lots of critics said that was what sort of kept him from greatness, really, and that he was still really good, even with the chronic boozing.
Yeah.
But it kept him from like realizing his true potential, which made me think me and you are probably the Burtons of the 21st century.
Yeah,
Wales,
we're the Burtons of the podcasting world.
Exactly, yeah. We could be so much more if we just kept off the fucking cans, but it's never going to happen.
But he had like four divorces as well.
Yeah. The guy was a bit of a wreck off screen. Very good on screen, supposedly, but yeah.
He also married Liz Taylor, didn't he? Elizabeth Taylor.
Liz Taylor, yeah.
Twice.
The boy did well. Yeah. The boy did well considering he was supping at a can all his life.
Yeah.
Not bad for him. But the first actor, just a little tidbit for you here, for something to keep you in noggin for trivia night, the first Welsh actor to win an Oscar was actually a guy named Ray Milland in 1945. He played, funny enough, an alcoholic writer in a film called The Lost Weekend. So yeah, keep that in your brain.
We had a few of them, haven't we?
Oh, bloody hell, haven't we? Then moving on to 1962. This is more of a Welsh-centric one now. It was a documentary called Dylan Thomas about the famous poet. Of the same name. This had Richard Burton back again doing the voiceover, and the film won an Oscar for Best Documentary Short, another one for the Welsh Trophy Cabinet. So, like, we're sort of, I wouldn't say consistently present, but there's, like, sort of a Welsh presence at the Oscars kind of throughout, which I found was interesting. The same year that Dylan Thomas came out, the documentary, Lawrence of Arabia was released. That wound up winning 7 Oscars. Peter O'Toole, who played the eponymous Lawrence, filmed part of the film in Merth Amawr, in the sand dunes. It's because they are the second highest sand dunes in Europe, apparently. Bits of that were filmed in Wales. That huge, like, that's a landmark film in cinema history. A little bit of Wales in there, which I liked. Fast forward to the 70s. And a film version of Dylan Thomas's radio play released in 1972 under Milkwood. This starred Richard Burton, his wife at the time, Elizabeth Taylor, as you mentioned earlier, and Lawrence of Arabia star Peter O'Toole. So back in the day, this was quite like a stacked cast.
Yeah.
And the film is set in a fictional Welsh village called Llaregub, which is bugger all backwards, I believe. Is that right?
Oh, is it? That's funny.
Yeah, I thought you did Undermilk Wood in school.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I meant to do it for drama, but I ended up not learning my words.
You were holding a fucking light or something, were you?
No, yeah. I was meant to do it, but I just never learned my words. And then they were like, "Oh, you have to learn them by this weekend." And they had to come in on the weekend. I was like, "I'm not dedicated to it." I was meant to play the postman. It was like, he used to steam open people's mail, and I thought that would be me as a postman.
Yeah.
He used to read all the town gossip. I like it. He used to read all the town gossip, which is very much my brand.
So yeah, this was set in a fictional Welsh village, was filmed in a very real Welsh town, the Fishguard. I haven't seen this film, actually, because it was the 70s, but apparently the Welsh accents are very well done as well. Very on point for the area. So this hits all the three marks, basically. Set in Wales, filmed in Wales, and actually seems like it's in Wales. So that's like a big hitter for Wales.
Yeah.
Hey, before I move out to the 80s, I can't not mention as well, although this isn't Hollywood by any means, Grand Slam, which is one of those films I think most Welsh people will know.
I've actually never seen it.
I saw it when I was probably too young to appreciate it.
We should watch it on the pod.
Definitely. So it's like, for those who don't know, it's a BBC film from 1978. It's about a group of lads from a rugby club travelling to France to watch Wales play France in the rugby. I remember it being funny. I don't know if it might be quite a bit dated now, but when I was doing the research on it, I semi-remember this. There's this one character called Maldwin, and he's like very overtly gay and camp and all that. But considering it's the 70s, he isn't actually played for laughs, like at his expense.
Oh, yeah.
He's like very much a part of the gang in the film and stuff, and he's like accepted by the rugby club and stuff, which I imagine that was probably a fairly progressive thing for the 70s. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
we should watch it. We should make that on our list to give that a proper watch.
Well, we're going away next week, aren't we? Yeah. Not just us, with the wives, it's fine.
Yeah.
So we can check it on the to-watch list. But on to the 80s now. And then a classic, An American Werewolf in London.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure everyone knows this one. Fans of the film will remember the scene in the slaughtered lamb pub. This section and the bits building up to it are set in Yorkshire, but they're actually filmed in Crickardar in Powys. That film is often described as a huge turning point for horror, especially the practical effects department. Yeah. And I love that there's like a little slice of Wales in that. That's like a nice little tidbit. And speaking of classics, although I admit I haven't seen this one, Highlander from 1986 has a little bit of Wales in it as well. Apparently, the closing scene of main character Connor McLeod, or McLeod, I'm not sure how to say it. The closing scene is him on like a mountainside, and that was actually filmed in Sychnant Pass in North Snowdonia. Mm. So another sort of, I wouldn't even say they're cult classics. They're pretty much classics, aren't they? Because they were widely liked, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. 1988, that brought about Willow. Insert the bones, tell me nothing scene here.
I will consult the bones. The bones tell me nothing.
And yeah, so that was filmed at various places in Wales, like Margam Park, Pendine Sands, Merthyr Tydfil, Neath Abbey. They actually remade that into a series recently. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, I did. Isn't he in it?
I saw an advert. Yeah, it's got Warwick Davis in again. Yeah. But they just deleted it from Disney Plus.
Huh.
I don't know why. I think it's because like maybe the ratings tanked or something. But yeah, it's just not on there anymore. But yeah, they did remake that into like a series about Willow, and that was also filmed in Wales. But yeah, they've shit canned that for some reason.
Yeah.
The biggest film to incorporate Wales in the 90s was The Englishman Who Went Up a Hill But Came Down a Mountain.
That's with Hugh Grant, didn't it?
Hugh Grant, that's it, yeah. I was about to say, I've seen it, I wouldn't say fairly recently, I've probably gone about like 10 years ago or something like that, maybe more. I wouldn't bother watching it, I found it an absolute slog.
Yeah.
But if you do like Hugh Grant, early Hugh Grant especially, it's about him as the aforementioned Englishman. Mm. He goes to a little town in Wales to measure the height of a hill to determine if it counts as a mountain or not. Turns out it's a few feet off, so like the townsfolk eventually start dragging dirt up the hill to pile on top, whatever. It's got a young Catherine Zeta-Jones in it as well.
And it's actually produced by Harvey Weinstein. So that
I was just about to say, the sad thing of it is it's produced by big saggy pervert Harvey Weinstein. Yeah. So that is a shame. That kind of, you know. Sort of
it's a big Welsh cast. I remember watching it when I was younger and it had a big Welsh cast in it.
Yes, so it is good for like sort of Welsh representation, and they're using like native accents as well. They're not like English people or American people, but whatever, putting on Welsh accents. So that's quite good. So now a quick jaunt through the noughties and the 2010s. Any Harry Potter fans listening? I know those are British films, but they're sort of done in conjunction with Warner Bros. And all that in America. Any Harry Potter fans listening? You'll probably already know the scene from Harry Potter, which are filmed all over the UK, including Wales. But one of the more memorable scenes is, and this is spoilers for anyone who hasn't seen them, like you, Franks, but when Dobby dies on the beach, that's filmed at Freshwater West Beach in Pembrokeshire. I don't think that's a huge spoiler because they've been out for years, so it's fine.
Yeah.
The Edge of Love, I haven't seen this film, was apparently a pretty big success. It's a romantic drama about Dylan Thomas and his wife and friends. That's all I could find on the synopsis. It didn't like mention any like big drama or anything, so it sounds kind of boring, but not exactly my go-to genre anyway, to be fair. But it starred Keira Knightley, Sienna Miller, Cillian Murphy, and Matthew Rhys. So a pretty decent cast.
Mm.
This was filmed in Newquay in Ceredigion. The non-Welsh actors actually try and do the Welsh accents in this, apparently. And they apparently do quite a decent job.
I think Keira
Knightley even got a dialect coach.
It's because I think in real life, Dylan Thomas was like funded by this woman who had a husband, and he was like a bit of a dick. He would just like come back into their life and get funded whilst having an affair with this like wife and the husband. It was just like a really, really like toxic, unhealthy, mad relationship. And I think they're big, heavy drinkers together. So I think that's...
Some might say a legend, some might say a shagger. Yeah. You know, who knows? Who are we to judge? Don't judge a man by the morals of the times, yeah?
Yes, exactly.
So, yeah. A year after that, a film called Amelia came out, starring Hilary Swank as Amelia Earhart, along with Richard Gere and Ewan McGregor supporting. It's not filmed in Wales, but at one point in the film, She thinks she's landing in Ireland, but it's actually Wales. And she arrives to locals singing Calon Lan.
These are becoming
apparently
so
that happened in real life.
Now. These are becoming...
I know, but like...
Is there any more biggie ones? Or should we... do you think there's...
There's a few. There's like Marvel boys. Marvel's pretty big.
Yeah, maybe move on to the Marvel ones because these are becoming pretty tenuous.
All right, I tell you what, I'll skip a couple out anyway. And I'm pretty much at the end anyway, actually. So jokes on you. But the for the Marvel boys and girls out there, 2010's Captain America: First Avenger. That a lot of that was filmed in Caerwent, where Capi Americano is battering some Nazis in the woods, and also when he's training at some army barracks. And then Violent Racist, Mark Wahlberg, he filmed two films in Wales, one in 2017, Transformers The Last Night, which filmed bits in Ystrad Quarry in Blaenau Gwent, and Infinite in 2021, where they blocked off Queen Street to film an action scene. And I was actually working in my old office on Queen Street when they were doing that.
I remember that.
So, yeah, I think you that was like all the rage around Cardiff, wasn't it, at that point? Because it was like one of our main streets and that was just completely blocked off.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a very quick rundown of Wales' appearances in movies and how Hollywood has a connection with our lush country. I think it was... I was more surprised in my research just how many like tendrils Wales had in the movie biz.
Mm.
Where it's like Wales is used as a stand-in for somewhere else. Whether it be fictional, I mean, you can understand that. But a lot of the time, and there's like, I'm talking a huge list of places where it's like filmed, it's meant to be set in England or it's meant to be set in Scotland or something like that, but they just film it in Wales. Like, so often that happens.
Is that because, maybe now because the Welsh government do a lot to try and make it a good place to film. So they offer like tax cuts and they like make it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it depends what time of the year, or like when it was, because there's always been Pinewood Studios down here, I think. Even though there's two Pinewood Studios in there, there's like the big one. And also, apparently, because of the latest writers' strikes and actors' strikes in America, the UK has now become, the UK and South Korea have become like massive like stalwarts and attractive places to come film. So loads of Warner Brothers stuff is still filmed in Wales, even though, after they opened the studios for Harry Potter. But loads of them are coming over here to film because we have, like, everyone speaks English. They have loads of good, like, highly talented light directors, artists, all that stuff. And so they kind of just replace Hollywood with lots of places in the UK. So that's quite good.
Well, I was going to say, I didn't want to go too much into Wales. There's more recent success for movies and TV because, there's a real boom going on at the moment. Yeah, because like I was going to say, we've got like an upcoming Wales on Film episode, so we'll sort of go into that a bit more. But yeah, that's sort of Wales in Hollywood and like the sort of the unseen presence of it. And yeah, so to finish up then, I've just got a few like random USA/Welsh facts just to throw at you, again, for the little trivia noggin next time you're down the pub at a pub quiz and they're doing a very, very specific quiz on Wales and the USA. You'll have this in your back pocket. So... For example, did you know that there are still Welsh American societies alive and kicking today? Three of the largest are AmeriCymru, New York Welsh / Cymru Efrog Newydd, which even have their own bar, by the way, the Liberty. Nice. If we ever get a funded trip to America, we'll go see them.
Yeah.
And then my favourite, just for the name alone, is the Chicago Taffia, a very clever play on taffy and mafia.
Yeah.
These groups all do things like celebrate St. David's Day, share Welsh American success stories, put on events, celebrate Welsh culture, etc. In 2019, actually, after the Cofiwch Tryweryn mural in Llanrwstyd was vandalised, the Chicago Taffia created a tribute mural in their like sort of gathering place, the Pleasant House pub in Chicago. So you can Google that, and they've got their own little Cofiwch Tryweryn there, like that they didn't support, which I thought was very nice.
Yeah, I was going to talk about that a little bit on next week's episode.
They're interesting. Another little factoid: today, over 2 million people in America claim Welsh ancestry. The densest concentrations being in Malad City in Idaho, Ramsen in New York State, and Oak Hill in Ohio. I couldn't find stats for Idaho and New York, but in 2010, apparently 135 people in Ohio could speak Welsh fluently.
Oh, that's sick.
Which I think is pretty impressive. Yeah. Like, 135, you think, oh, it's not huge, but, like, that's amazing for somewhere so far away and who's been kind of detached from the, you know, so many generations down. I think that's really impressive.
Yeah.
Also, if you were a Welshman inexplicably teleported to America, you might still be able to find somewhere familiar because America is home to 8 Bangors. One of those is technically called Bangorville. 9 Cambrias. 5 Cardiffs, 9 Monmouths, 10 Swanseas, 4 of which are spelt Z-E-Y at the end, 2 Waleses, 1 North Wales, and 2 Pembrokes. They're all over the place. And this is a new one to me as well. Did you also know that the University of Yale, an Ivy League research university in New Haven, Connecticut, founded in 1701, the third oldest institution of higher education in the United States, is actually named after a merchant named Elihu Yale, a descendant of a Welsh family who were named after their ancestral home in Plas y Iau in Wrexham. Yale is supposedly a bit of like a corruption or modernization, whatever you want to call it, of the Welsh Yal, which was a cantref of Maelor in the Kingdom of Powys. And for those who don't know, a cantref is like a medieval land division. It's basically a 100 houses area. So yeah, these people, Elihu Yale, his forefathers, if you like, were from Plas y Iau.
Forefathers? That's just a bit of a
you
joke.
You get what I mean. You get just, what I mean.
Just a little joke.
Oh, it's
little
just
joke.
A little joke. Just a little joke towards the end. And this isn't a huge one, but as I was looking up, I was trying to find a connection between like Welsh pubs and things like how many Welsh pubs are in America or something like that. I thought that'd be a good stat. But anyway, I couldn't find anything definitive, but I did come across this and I thought it was very wholesome. So I'll just include this as my last bit. So there's a brewing company in Indiana called Yechida.
Oh, that's cool.
For those who don't know, it's like good health. It's like it's what you do for cheers in Welsh. It's owned by a husband and wife, Chips and Summer Lewis. According to the website, Chips is descended from some of the first Welsh immigrants that came over in 1635, and he's very, very proud of his Gwaed Cymraeg, or his Welsh blood. And so you bloody should be, Chips. And I love that Chips is keeping the Welsh boozing thing alive. And I looked on his website and everything, and like the about us page is all about how he thinks beer is such a good thing because it brings people together. You know, you do like deals without contracts, you make friends, you do all this sort of stuff. And I was like, oh, go on, Chips. I like him. So shout out to Chips and Summer Lewis over in Indiana, not Idaho. But yeah, that's
and
my little
Chips, or sclods as they're called in Welsh, are some of our favourite things. Welsh will absolutely adore Chips. So good on you, Chip.
Chips's name in Welsh would be Slods. So take that as you will.
Yeah, if he joins a Patreon, we can have a bit of banter with your name, Sklods. Sklods.
We already came up with that guy Ian's
Jizz Gardner
nickname, didn't we?
Jizz Yan.
So yeah, Chips, you come on. You might have a nickname as good as that, mate.
All right, well, should we park it there for this week? Next week's episode, you'll learn that America is potentially named after a Welshman. And some other bits and bobs in the lead up to the next election, which is 2 weeks today on day of record. We're recording this on the 22nd, and so 2 weeks today, we'll just find out what happens.
Yeah, the second episode will actually go out like right before, won't it?
Yeah. All right, then, Duff Pub, Duff and Grandad, thanks for listening.
Duff all. Ta-da.